All right. Well, we all love a good hero, right? When I say the word hero, who do you think of? Who do you think of? We listed a few examples with our kids, and it could be Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, or any of a thousand others from the comics you may have heard of. Or maybe when I say the word hero, you think of movie action heroes. And who do you think of most of all? Arnold Schwarzenegger, maybe. Bruce Willis, Sylvester Stallone. If you're from a little bit earlier era, you think of John Wayne and guys like him. Maybe when I say the word hero, you think of real-life heroes, presidents, leaders, activists, or soldiers, or scholars, or someone who stood up for what's right. Maybe when I say the word hero, you think of an athlete, someone who displays dedication to their sport and discipline in their own personal life, to train and to train and to train. You think about these sorts of things when we think about heroes. And we all love a good hero, like I said, and we love the things that heroes do. We love to see them succeed. We love the victories that they win on our behalfs. We love to see our heroes even more. We love to see them come back from defeat. We love the things that our heroes say. Sometimes those are inspiring words to make us act. Sometimes the words our heroes say are corny one-liners to make us groan in the movies. Sometimes, we love the heroes. We love the things that heroes are. We love that they're courageous, that they're honorable, that they're honest and strong and determined, and we want to be like them. And most of all with heroes, what we love is we love their stories. We tell the stories of our heroes over and over because their stories give us something to strive for. Their stories give us a standard to live up to, and we understand that when we tell their stories and we hear it again and again. So today we're beginning a new message series called Heroes. And we're looking at the heroes of Scripture. We're taking a fresh look at some of those people that we have all heard about. Today, we're talking about Abraham. And we'll also discover some people through this message series that maybe you've never heard of before. And what we'll see is that in all of their lives, God uses their lives to tell the same story over and over. Throughout Scripture, we see the same story repeated because the truth is that all the heroes of Scripture have one purpose. And the purpose is that all the heroes of Scripture point us to Jesus. They show us that God saves his people through faith in a Savior. And so today we're looking at Abraham, who's the great patriarch over Israel, the father of Israel and of the Christian faith. And we're asking the question today, what makes a hero? And Abraham's story shows us that. But I'll tell you right up front that in Scripture, people are not heroes because of what they do. In Scripture, people are not heroes because of who they are. But, like I said a few moments ago, that's what we think of when we think of heroes, right? We think of what they do. We think of their great deeds. We think of their good works. We focus on all the good that heroes do, and sometimes even we ignore the bad. Sometimes we don't see heroes as they really were, but we see them as we think they should have been. And in fact, we have this ideal image of heroes in our heads. We kind of put them up on a pedestal, and that challenges us. It makes us doubt ourselves, in fact. It makes us doubt ourselves. It makes us doubt our own ability to respond to the Lord in faith and to seek his will because we think, we get this idea that the heroes of Scripture are somehow better than us. But the truth is that they're not. If we look at the real stories of the Bible's heroes, we see that they're no better off than us. They aren't heroes of good deeds, and they definitely aren't perfect people. So then what makes a hero? Well, today we'll see. So Abraham, I would love to tell you all the whole story of Abraham, but his story is 15 chapters long in the book of Genesis, and we don't quite have enough time to do all of that right now. So let me share some high points. Abraham was born to a nomadic family in a place called Ur. This was about 2,000 years B.C., around 2,000 years before Christ. And today, Ur would be located in southeastern Iraq. At some point in Abraham's earlier life, they moved from Ur to a place called Haran, which today is in Turkey, up near the Syrian border. So places that see a lot of conflict today, actually. And that was a journey of around 600 miles. When Abraham was 75 years old then, Scripture tells us that God called Abraham away from that land, and God called Abraham to travel to the Holy Land, to seek it out. So Abraham traveled another 450 miles to the Holy Land, to the land that would be Israel. And that's when life got exciting for Abraham. Abraham traveled to Egypt and then back because of a great famine in the land. Abraham was also an accomplished fighter in his life. At one point, Abraham took just 318 men from his family and used them to overcome no less than four armies and four kings. And in that deed, he rescued his nephew Lot. The Lord also made a great covenant with Abraham. The Lord promised to give Abraham many descendants and that they would occupy a huge land. And this, by the way, the Lord made this promise when Abraham was already 85 years old with no children. He had no children, and the Lord promised him descendants. Abraham also witnessed the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw when God destroyed those cities for their great wickedness. And Abraham finally had his first legitimate son at the age of 100 years old. He accumulated great wealth in this time. He had a large extended family. He had huge flocks of animals, lots of land. And this was all within the span of 25 years. Kind of an exciting life. But Abraham made mistakes too. Now, along the way, Abraham did this twice. Abraham pretended that his wife was in fact his sister, and he gave her to a king to sleep with. He did this twice, and it caused really big problems both times. And you wonder why he didn't learn his lesson. Abraham also didn't really trust God's promise. He failed in this, he didn't trust God's promise that God would give him descendants. He didn't trust God's promise that Sarah would have a son for him. So Abraham went and had an illegitimate son with a servant woman named Hagar. Only eventually he had to send Hagar and her son away because of the jealousy and the family problems that this created, that Abraham's mistake created. And so Abraham did lots of good things, but he made a few really big, bad mistakes. You know, if Abraham played sports today, what we would say about him is that he's good at the fundamentals, but he's not a real good clutch player, right? When the pressure was on, when things got tough, Abraham took shortcuts. And so if you judge Abraham by what he did, he was an all right guy. He had his ups and downs, but he's not hero material. But remember that Abraham isn't a hero because of what he did. And so let's look. Let's look at Genesis chapter 22, our reading for today. And this, in fact, is the one clutch play that Abraham got right. This is the one high-pressure situation where Abraham did the right thing. So in Genesis 22, you can find that in your bulletins today because we don't have it on the screens. But up at the beginning, we read that God tested Abraham. God tested Abraham. God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. So let's pause for a moment to let this sink in because God is telling Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, his son. Now, I have a son who you've seen running around many times today already, and you know too, if you're a parent, this is not like a small request. That's a huge thing. This is the sort of request that makes you stop and think, wait a second, maybe I should think twice about this God. But it's even more than that. It's even harder than that, because remember, what was the promise that God made to Abraham? God promised him descendants, and God promised Abraham descendants that would come through this son, Isaac. And so in fact, God is commanding Abraham not just to give up his son Isaac, God is commanding Abraham to give up all the blessings that God has already promised to give him. So God is testing Abraham, and this is a hard, hard test. So what happens? Well, Abraham takes Isaac, he takes some supplies, he takes a couple servants, and they set out for a three-day journey to the place, Moriah, where Abraham is supposed to do the sacrifice. They travel, and on the third day of traveling, Abraham sees the mountains in the distance. They leave the servants behind, and Abraham and Isaac go on together. So Abraham takes the wood for the sacrifice because it's supposed to be a burnt offering. He takes the wood for the sacrifice. He places that wood on his son Isaac, and Abraham himself carries the fire and the knife, the other tools that he would need to perform the sacrifice. And as they're traveling up the mountain together, Isaac kind of gets that there's something different about this. This is not like the other sacrifices that they would have done together. Because Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, he says, Father, Abraham replies, yes, my son. And Isaac says, well, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? What are we sacrificing today? And Abraham can only answer him and say, well, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Abraham can't bring himself to tell Isaac what he plans to do. So they get to the right place on the top of the mountain. Abraham builds an altar, and he arranges everything in place. Abraham binds his son Isaac. He ties him up, and Abraham places Isaac on top of the altar. Abraham stretches out his hand with the knife, and he is ready to make the cut when the angel of the Lord calls out to Abraham and says, Abraham, Abraham, wait! Don't lay a hand on the boy. Don't do anything to him. He says, now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And then Abraham looks up, and there in a thicket nearby, a thorn bush, he sees a ram caught by its horns. Abraham goes over and he takes the ram instead and sacrifices it there as an offering instead of his son. And so Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," because the Lord provided a sacrifice. Now think, what about Abraham's story here? What about this story makes Abraham a hero? It was Abraham's faith. It was Abraham's trust. That even in this terrible situation where God was demanding that Abraham should give up all of his blessings, where God was demanding that Abraham should give up his very son, Abraham still trusted in God's promise. Abraham still believed that God would give him descendants through his son Isaac. Abraham still trusted that promise so firmly. Abraham trusted that promise so firmly that he was ready to kill Isaac, not because he thought God had some kind of secret plan B, not because he thought, well, I'll have another kid and this will be all right. Abraham actually was ready to kill his son Isaac because he knew that even if Abraham would kill his son Isaac, Abraham knew that God would raise his son from the dead. Do you believe that? Because if we look back up to verse 5, back towards the beginning of our reading, Abraham says this to his servants when they're leaving, when they're parting ways, and Abraham and Isaac go on together to perform the sacrifice themselves. What does Abraham say to the servants? He says, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham knows. He's heading up the mountain. He plans to kill his son, and yet he tells the servants that they will both be returning. Abraham trusts God's promise. He knows that God not only can, but will raise his son from the dead. So Abraham is no hero of good works. He made lots of mistakes, but Abraham is a hero of faith. And what makes this story even better is the so many different ways that this story points us to Jesus. Let me tell you, God is a master of foreshadowing, and we're going to see this in some of the other heroes we look at too. When we look at their lives, we see little hints pointing us to Jesus, showing us what's going to happen ahead of time. And so think about this. This all happened 2,000 years before Jesus lived. And yet in this story, you see a father sacrificing his only beloved son, just like God the Father would sacrifice his son Jesus on the cross to forgive my sins and to forgive your sins. In this story, you have the son, Isaac, carrying the wood for his own sacrifice, just like Jesus would have the wood for his sacrifice, the cross laid on his shoulders to carry himself. You see also a son coming back from the dead, in a sense. For Abraham, Isaac was dead as soon as God commanded him to make the sacrifice. And yet, 3 days later, after the journey, Abraham received his son back from the dead when the angel said, "Abraham, stop, don't kill your son." You see also the true lamb of the sacrifice, the ram in this story, there with his head stuck in thorns, just like Jesus would have a crown of thorns at his own death. And so all these details, the details of the lives of God's heroes, often point us to Jesus because their stories are meant to point us to Jesus. And you know, you may think, well, maybe that's all a coincidence, right? Maybe that seems like a lot to me, but maybe that's all a coincidence. But if that doesn't get it, this similarity gets me the most. If you look at a map of biblical places, this place, Moriah, this region, what would be located there eventually was the site of the city of Jerusalem. We know, of course, that Jerusalem is a city on top of a hill. It's the highest place in the area, and Abraham and Isaac here are supposed to be making the sacrifice on top of a mountain in this area of Moriah, this high place, in the same area that the city of Jerusalem would be located. And we know Jesus was crucified on a hill in Jerusalem, a high place, in the same area. And so it's actually very likely that Abraham is making this sacrifice in the exact same spot that Jesus would be sacrificed some 2,000 years later. And that just makes me say, wow, that there's all these connections, that the life of Abraham, God's hero, would point us to Jesus in so many ways. And Abraham is no hero of good works. He's a hero of faith. Abraham trusted in God's promise. And God kept his promise to Abraham that day as he saved Isaac. He wouldn't let Isaac die. And God fulfilled his promise to Abraham to make him a great nation, to give him many descendants. God fulfilled his promise to Abraham in that same spot 2,000 years later through his son Jesus Christ. And that's really cool. So the biblical heroes we're going to see didn't necessarily live good lives. They didn't always make good decisions, just like you and me, right? But what they did do was they trusted the Lord. They had faith. And because they had faith, because God is the great author of all of their stories always point us to the story of Jesus. So these next few weeks together, let's pay attention to their stories. As we go through this message series, let these stories sink into you. In fact, we're talking about Abraham today, so let me tell you, this week, take this home and get to know Abraham a little better. Read Genesis chapter 22 again and look for all of these hints and these details we talked about, or even read Abraham's whole story. In the book of Genesis, it's chapters 11 to 25. It's actually not that long. In my big study Bible with all the pictures, that helps me a lot, and with all the notes and things like that, it's only 20 pages, and you can read 20 pages of the Bible in a week. You can read 20 pages of the Bible in an afternoon or an evening, in an hour if you try it. So get to know Abraham and get to know the rest of the stories of the heroes that we're going to talk about. See the good and the bad choices that they make. See the times when their faith is strong, as Abraham's was right here, and see the times when their faith is weak. Let their stories point you to Jesus, and let their stories strengthen your own faith as well. Because ultimately, this is what we hope to gain. Through reading these stories, what we hope to gain is faith in Jesus Christ and faith in his sacrifice, faith in his work for us. We know that faith in Jesus Christ is what saves us, and we already have that. We know that faith is God's gift to us in baptism and through God's word, and we know that our faith is renewed every week through the Lord's Supper. But God wrote these stories to strengthen our faith and to take us from a place of weak faith to a place of stronger faith. And God wrote these stories to strengthen our faith in Jesus, and we know that a strong faith in Jesus will shape every bit of who we are and what we do for good. Speaking of faith, Robert Kolb is a Lutheran theologian. He's a good guy, and when he talks about the importance of faith in Christ, he says this, and I think these words are just, they sum it up so perfectly. He says, faith is the very core of our being. Faith is our basic grasp on reality. If faith is misplaced, then all of life is skewed somehow. It's off kilter. If faith is misdirected toward anything but God himself, then life goes sour and spoils, kind of like milk that's 4 weeks old. But faith rightly directed to God and to his son gives us an ultimate sense of identity, security, and meaning by which we can order our lives under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of faith I want to have. And that's the kind of faith I want you to have too. So over this next several weeks, let's get to know our heroes a little better. Let's let their faith strengthen ours. Let's go home and read their stories together as families and friends. Because what we'll see is that our heroes in Scripture are real people. And in their lives, we'll see the work of God and we'll see the promise of Christ come through so clearly. And we'll know that these things are for us too. Amen.